From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and we're here today dealing with mental health issues from a holistic perspective. And we all know that the truth will set you free, but the question we ask on this show is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? So each week I do a show dealing, like I said, with various mental health issues, and as a licensed psychotherapist in private practice for over 30 years, I have been working with all sorts of people with all sorts of different problems and issues. And to be honest with you, as if you've listened to the show, I talk about my own stuff when it's relevant too. And throughout the course of my lifetime, I've been dealing with my own issues in a lot of ways. And I'm always looking for new tools and techniques and new healing methods for myself and things that I can learn to offer my clients a faster and better way of getting through their own problems and working through their on their own path. And a philosophy that I have that a lot of therapists would actually agree with but not say is, to me, the whole point of therapy is to get out of therapy. It's not about spending your whole life. I mean, I know a lot of people who are hesitant to get into therapy because they figured, oh my goodness, I'm going to be doing this for the next 20 years of my life. And I remember actually when I was still working in Florida and living in South Florida, I had a client who had been in therapy doing psychoanalysis, I think, at one point. And he came to see me and actually got quite a bit done in the course of about 8 or 9 months. And at one point I said to him, you know, I think you might be it might be time for you to take a break. And he was like shocked. At first he thought I was rejecting him and he felt really put off by it. But I said, no, it's not about not wanting to work with you. It's about the fact that you've done a lot of good work. You have a lot of things going on for yourself that weren't going on before. You have a better sense of yourself. You're more grounded. Your relationships are doing a lot better. And to me, what's the point of coming in? It feels like our sessions have gotten to a place where we're just chatting as opposed to dealing with issues. So maybe it's time for a break. Maybe if you stop coming in for a while, you find out that you really can handle these things on your own. Or maybe you'll take a break for a while and you'll identify some other things you can come back and see me with. And he understood, and he was shocked that a therapist would actually, in a sense, cut off our meal ticket, if you want to look at it that way. I mean, the reality of it is, when you're in private practice, like anybody that's self-employed, my bills get paid based on how many client hours I do a week. And if I don't do a certain number of client hours a week, I may not cover my monthly bills. And it's a harsh way to look at it, but, you know, the business side of what I do has to do with finances and has to do with supporting myself. So with that being said, I'm always excited when I actually discover a tool and a technique that will accelerate my process or my client's process. And I'm going to take you back to actually around 1994, actually. And you may know, if you've listened to the show before, that I've been in the trenches doing AIDS work since 1985-86, and it was a big part of what I did professionally and who I was personally. Even though I'm HIV negative, there were probably hundreds of bedsides and hundreds of funerals and memorials I'd been to, and it really started taking its toll on me, as it did a lot of people who were surviving during that time. Whether they're HIV positive or HIV negative, there was a period in this epidemic that was a constant drain and a constant trauma for us and a constant sense of loss day after day. There were times when I would dread my telephone ringing because I knew that when it rang, it would be who's in the hospital now or who's just passed away or, you know, whose durable power of attorney has now been activated and there's someone close to me that I need to go deal with. And I was dreading the phone ringing for like a long time. And especially if you think back to like the early 90s, it was during that wave when just nothing was working for anybody and just people were just dying in waves. So I realized at a certain point I was grieving. And the way I was grieving was spending most of my weekends hoping the phone wouldn't ring and staying on my couch watching TV, renting movies, and ordering in food. Now, any of you that's ever been depressed or traumatized or overwhelmed by anything can probably relate to that scene. And it was like intense sadness, intense grief. It was like most of the people that I loved and most of my support system, were disappearing. And I didn't want to handle anything else. Even if a friend was calling that had nothing to do with HIV and AIDS, but they had a question or they had a problem, I had all I could do to see my clients and stay focused and keep working with them. But I was able to do that. But when it came to the downtime, I wasn't really functioning in any other way. Now, as a therapist who's fairly conscious, it's hard for me to find a good therapist to go to, and yet it would be hypocritical of me to say to you that I don't go to a therapist when I need to, because I really encourage people to get help. We all need help at different points in our lives. There's obviously a lot less stigma around being in therapy. In fact, it's almost a badge of achievement when you say, oh, I saw my therapist this week. Oh, I'm dealing with this issue. Oh, I'm working through these problems with my parents. People talk about this openly now. It's not the stigma that it used to be. And yet, I know that when I need to see a therapist, it's like I need to find someone that I can't talk circles around and I can't kind of, you know, schmooze and charm my way through the sessions. And it's not like I want to do that, but my ego gets involved like anybody else's. So, you know, I'll resist and I'll do all the stuff. And unless it's a really good therapist that's going to call me on my stuff and be very direct and not let me get away with that, it's not who I need to see. Which is why I like rebirthing and breathwork and other tools that kind of get you away from the didactic and the conversation part of therapy, the things that kind of get you out of your head. You know, I said that, you know, it's like I've always said that the best form of therapy is the therapy that gets you out of your mind. You know, and it's like most people go into therapy because they're feeling like they're out of their mind. And to me, it's helpful to find a form of therapy that gets you out of your mind. So I was asking some friends for a referral, and I had this friend named Bob who was telling me about this therapist he was seeing, whose name was Roy Hedrick, in Los Angeles, who was doing this very unusual form of therapy with him. And he said that he would sit there and ask him certain questions and ask him to imagine certain situations that went on and move his fingers back and forth in front of his eyes, and you follow his fingers back and forth in front of your eyes. And Bob said it was the most astounding thing and the most amazing experience for him, because what happened was he started getting in touch with things that he never dreamed he'd get in touch with. He started on a cellular and physical level, not just an intellectual level. It was working for him. And the more Bob was talking, the more I said, that's who I need to go see. It just intuitively knew this is what I needed to do. So I called Roy and I told him, I'm here because I'm grieving and I'm stuck and I'm like in overwhelm and I'm afraid that if I start crying, I'm never going to stop. I'm afraid if I really get in touch with this, the amount of loss that I've endured is just going to consume me, so I'm just shutting down. The amazing thing was that within three sessions of this technique called EMDR, or eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, three sessions, and all of a sudden the weight was lifting. Even in the first session, I could feel it happening. And by the third,